broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you, fun seekers. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, off to another fun week here on our website, OneRadioNetwork.com. We do a show most every day, and we talk generally about natural health and healing and the money. We're really into the money thing, and the thing that I'm most passionate about is who we are and why we are and where we are. And the funny thing about it is that I spend so much time thinking about who we are and why we are. I'm really kind of good at that in the soul, mind, body, and the whole spiritual aspect, and I can actually leave my body kind of at will. But then I didn't really know exactly where I was. I mean, I did, but until I started looking at the idea of a non-movable, non-spinning earth hurtling around the sun through watching some videos called The Lost History that someone sent me. And 3 or 4 hours into that, I said, oh my God, I'm really on a flat thing, moving thing. And I was up for a week. So you've heard that story before, David Weiss. David is here. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I've been up for 5 years. I haven't slept. So just welcome to immovable Earth, immovable stationary level Earth. I don't want to call it flat Earth because people get the idea of, I don't know if people saw the thumbnail that you put up, but you had two cartoons on there, one of a ball floating in space and one of a pancake floating in space. Both of those are not true. So
yeah,
when people hear flat Earth, when you have that guttural reaction, oh my God, that's stupid, just know that you've been programmed into thinking flat Earth is something that it's not. So we're going to discuss what flat Earth is today, and we're going to prove that we don't live on a spinning ball.
You're going to prove it. You're going to prove it. Like, if we had a jury of our peers here, 12 folks who were sober, they would, at the end of the hour and a half we have, they're going to say, whoa, I'd vote for David, do you think?
We actually had a guy, I'm spacing on his name, Garcia, Mr. Garcia, I'll call him. Uh-huh. And he put up a reward, and someone tried to, you know, to prove that the Earth is a globe, and someone tried to claim it. They actually went to court, and the judge ruled in favor of flat Earth.
You're kidding. Is that right?
So, no, I'm not kidding.
I object, Your Honor. I object, Your Honor. Oh, that's great. Okay, so
Yeah. Here's
how I'd like to start. I write screenplays, and in screenwriting, they say, what's your elevator pitch? And that means, you know, you're in an elevator with Francis Ford Coppola or, you know, whoever, you know, of Oliver Stone, and you say, Oliver says, what do you do? Oh, I write screenplays. Oh, what's your latest one about? And my elevator pitch is, and I've actually done this, it's about an American president who takes over the Federal Reserve Bank by force, sends in the army, and of course, that's owned and operated by the people who put him into office. Oliver says, wow, that's a great story. Here's my card. Send it to me. I'd like to read it. David's in an elevator in Los Angeles at a cosmology, you know what I'm going to say, at a cosmology event. Are you married?
Essentially, yes.
Oh, essentially, yes. Okay, so
I have a partner I live with for 12 years, so we're married more than anyone
gotcha.
Else could
so
be married.
I can't use girl. So anyway, you meet somebody, boy or girl, and they say, what do you do? And David says, oh, I'm here.
She's a girl also, just so you know.
Okay, I hope so. Well, it doesn't matter. What do I care? So so the person says, what do you do? And you say, well, you know, I really teach people about an unmovable earth that doesn't spin around the sun. And he says, really? Puts you at the door. You're going to go to the 50th floor. And he says, well, tell me. I only have a second here. So what's your elevator pitch to this guy? You only have maybe 60 seconds. What do you got? Go.
Yeah. So if the Earth is a ball 24,900 miles around, like they tell us,
yeah,
there's a rate of curvature, and we should only be able to see a certain distance. And that distance, according to that size, is if you're a 6 foot tall person, you should see the horizon at 3 miles away when looking over calm water. Well, we can zoom out and see things 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. We can see things so far away that the radius of the Earth would have to be 100 or 200 times bigger than they tell us. We can see too far. So the Earth is not if it's a ball, it's way, way, way bigger than they're telling us. You can't have high pressure next to a vacuum without some sort of container. If space is a vacuum, you need a container. Water doesn't bend. We just were talking about that. Those are my top two right there.
Okay, so
here's the thing.
But we're at the 50th floor, so I got to go. But before I go and let you on to your cosmology event, I've seen pictures on the internet of the Earth, and it's round and it's beautiful, the blue marble. So come on, it's round, dude.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of dinosaurs too. But if you actually look at the pictures that they show us that they claim are real, you can do measurements. We can measure across the bay here and say this is 934 miles. Well, if the Earth was the diameter that they're telling us, I should be able to fit 8.5 of these in between this diameter of the Earth. And as you can see, it doesn't even fit on this page. So the pictures that you're looking at are pictures. NASA admits they don't have any photos of Earth. NASA admits they don't have any photographs of Earth. And when you compare the images that they give us, the pictures, that's how they call them, you can see that none of them line up. You have different artists doing them, different sizes. None of it makes any sense. Once you look at them and actually compare, you realize that they're paintings. None of them are real.
So none of them line up, meaning what exactly, David Weiss? By the way, it's David Weiss. You can see the flatearthpodcast.com. I don't even think I mentioned that. We just jumped right in. So what do you mean they don't line up? Show us.
Well, one thing is, you know, everyone saw the blue marble that was on everyone's iPhone when iPhones first came out. Mm-hmm. And there's a NASA visual artist named Robert Simmons that did an interview, and he said how he made it. He painted it in Photoshop.
Really?
And he said he used Command-Z a lot. He stepped and repeated the same clouds because he was a little bit lazy. He didn't want to make new clouds every time. And so he admits that this is a Photoshop creation made from data that he was given, ones and zeros, made from data, and he made it to look like what people would expect it to look like. He admits that. The only people that claim it's real are people that haven't researched, people that have no idea what they're talking about.
Are there any real photos of Earth available anywhere from NASA?
No, there's not.
None of these?
There's none.
None of the things you see on YouTube?
People say, what about the...
They're just not real.
Sorry, say again?
Yeah, none of the things you see on the internet that Al Gore invented, thanks Al, are real. They're all paintings and CGI.
So people say, you flat earthers, no matter what we show you, you're going to say it's fake. No, we're taking NASA's images. We're showing you, proving to you that they're fake. You know, we can do measurements, right? The proportions of this are all wrong. Right? Across Mexico and over to Baja is 934 miles. The diameter of the Earth is 7,900 miles. 8.5 of those should fit here. Something is wrong. Mm. And what's wrong is this is a lousy painting. NASA showed us a picture from 1978 and 2017 and said, look how bad the pollution's getting. And everybody freaked out. But if you look, the same clouds. Look, same clouds, same clouds. Yeah. They're so lazy, or they're sticking it in our face, that they don't even bother changing the clouds.
They just use the same thing, but they just colored the clouds a little bit?
They just dimmed it. This was to make you feel bad about, you know, global warming and pollution and all of that. Of course, we should not pollute, but the whole climate change thing is another hoax. This is all about control, what's going on. But if you can see that NASA is lying here, well, they're lying about everything. You catch them faking space wands, faking photos of the Earth. Why would they fake it if they could really take a real picture? They can't.
Why can't they? I mean, they have
because
Hubble.
Because the Earth is not a ball, and Hubble. Nobody has been to space.
Nobody's been to space. Okay, so that's interesting. And this is the main question, and this will get us into that, what you just said, nobody's been to space, or is there space? The first question, right. The question I've been asking myself since I got the aha moment that I was on an immovable plane or whatever it is, I said, okay, where is it? Where is Earth?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, where is it? Where is it, David Weiss?
So they want us to think that we are spinning out of control, lost in an infinite universe on a speck of dust that means nothing, where we could be taken out at any moment by an asteroid. Right. We're going to run out of food, fuel, water, pollution, population. All of that is nonsense. All of it. All of it's nonsense. So first, if we're not on a spinning ball, where are we? We're not on a disc like you have in your thumbnail. That's not what the Flat Earth is. That's what they want you to believe it is. If you Google Flat Earth, you will end up at places like the Flat Earth Society, which Obama plugged a half a dozen times during his presidency. They want you to go there. It's called Controlled Opposition. It's a government-run website with a little bit of truth and a bunch of nonsense. So when you go there, you go, oh, Flat Earth is so stupid. I'm never going to look at Flat right. Earth because it's the dumbest thing ever. I'll lose intelligence. So what is the Flat Earth if it's not a disc? The Flat Earth is, the way I describe it is, we live in a pond. So a puddle of water is where water accumulates. It doesn't accumulate at the top of the hill. It accumulates in the low spot in the land. And the edge of the puddle is just where the land is higher than the water. Large bodies of water at rest need a container, right? And so the land, the depression in the land, is the container for the water. A pond is a bigger puddle. A lake is a bigger pond. The world oceans are a bigger lake. So what contains our water? Well, Antarctica, they tell us, is a continent at the bottom of our spinning ball. Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. That's interesting. Why is the highest land on Earth at the bottom of the ball? Maybe it's weighing the ball down. It's the highest land on Earth. Well, there's nobody, we can get into Antarctica in a little bit, but it's not a continent at the bottom of the ball, and that's provable. Antarctica is the land that surrounds our water. All right, if you go to the edge of our pond, of the world pond, you hit Antarctica. No matter what direction you go, you hit Antarctica, and there's the shoreline of Antarctica, and that is the container of our pond. It's not a wall like the Game of Thrones, because that the entire Game of Thrones was to make you think, oh, the ice wall, ha ha ha, Flat Earth is stupid. It's not a wall. It's literally the edge of our pond, right? We're not a disc in space. And then, like, if you go to the edge of a lake, you don't fall off the lake. You get to the
okay.
edge of the lake.
Let's slow what's down. Beyond, let's slow down a little bit. Slow
what's
down.
Beyond it is the next question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's slow down a little bit. Now, we have seen those videos on the lost, what is it? What do they call it?
The lost history.
The lost history. Beautiful videos of this wall. Are those real? Where they show this huge 200, yeah, that one. Are these real?
Yeah, there's hundreds. This is something you're still able to find in Antarctica. Just put Antarctica shoreline, Antarctica coast, Antarctica ice wall. There's millions of pictures. You know, there are lots of pictures, not millions. But and there's very few videos. This is one of them. Antarctica is the shoreline of our world pond. Our sun is small and close within the Earth system, and it oscillates closer to the center and farther out as it goes around and creates the seasons. We'll show you that in a moment. Mm-hmm. And it never gets close enough to Antarctica to melt this ice. So everything beyond here, as far as we know, is frozen. But maybe there's other sources of heat beyond the shoreline of Antarctica.
We just don't know.
Maybe there's other worlds in the outer space beyond Antarctica.
That's what Admiral Byrd said years ago, right? He was on a video in, what, 1950, David, or 60?
And he said, Admiral Byrd?
Yeah, and Byrd, he suggested that there could be something as big as the United States on the other side of this big ice, but yeah, we can't fly over there, right?
He said there's land. It goes beyond the pole. So how do you go beyond the pole? Which way is beyond the pole if this is the pole?
I don't know.
He says there's land bigger than the United States that no human has ever stepped foot upon or no human has ever seen that is filled with resources. Now, during a time where we're going to war after war after war, fighting over world resources, fighting over everything, they find this discovery where nobody lives, filled with resources, and they go, oh, nobody can go there. Antarctic Treaty is in effect. Nobody can go beyond 60 degrees parallel ever until the year 2041. No corporation, no country, nobody is allowed to explore there. And that's the only treaty that's remained in effect since 1959. Okay? No treaty has ever, ever lasted that
and every long. Country in the world signed on to this treaty, and it's been in effect, and we've seen videos where they have National Guard will scramble and they'll actually shoot planes down, right, if they try to fly over there.
They stop boats. The other problem is you can't just fly there. Imagine if they say, okay, you know what, we're gonna have open house, feel free to come explore Antarctica. Where are you gonna fuel? How are you gonna navigate? GPS doesn't work down there. Compasses don't work down there. It's dark at certain times of the year. There's no place to eat. There's no place to refuel. Where are you going? So it's not even easy. It's not even, you can't really go there without supply chains and millions and millions of dollars and resources. So Yeah, it's off limits. No one's allowed to go there. At the beginning, only a dozen or so countries signed on, but now they've all signed on. All of them have signed on. Nobody can go there because we have to protect the penguins and keep the ice pure. But feel free to deforest the entire Amazon and pollute the world. That's fine. Just don't go to Antarctica.
Do you actually think that these globalist people that are running with the global warming thing really believe the Earth is warming and it could melt this area?
Absolutely not. These people that are running the world know the Earth is flat. They know the answer is in Antarctica, and there's probably an answer in the North Pole also, which no one is allowed to go to. So they know that if they let the population explore these areas, if they let us have airships like there used to be here in the 1800s and before, if they let us have access to all of that, we wouldn't have to obey the tyranny that's going on because we know there's other options. There's more land, most likely, beyond Antarctica. There's an ancient map, Japanese map, that showed like 30 some odd continents beyond Antarctica. We live here in the inner space, and out here in the outer space is extra territory. If you live there and you came to visit, you might be considered an extraterrestrial from outer space.
Well, so all of those little blobs out there, David Weiss, are what some people have said exist out there. They're islands or continents or...
Continents.
Wow.
Continents. Yeah.
Why can't we just go up really high and take a picture of all this?
Because the ceiling is not as high as you think.
Oh.
You know, the ceiling, the highest...
It's always something, right? It's always something.
Yeah, the highest any rocket has ever gone, amateur rocket, you know, because the ones that NASA shoots up are all nonsense, is like 72 or 73 miles, something like that. And when it did, it went up, and it sounded like it hit something, like it went into a thicker medium, right? It was called the Go Fast rocket.
Right.
And the Go Fast rocket did something that NASA never did. They gave us two uninterrupted camera feeds, showing looking down the whole way and one looking out the whole way. And the, you know, NASA, if you watch, or SpaceX, watch any launch, in the first 10 seconds, there's 7 or 8 movie cuts. In the first 10, 15 seconds, it's cut, 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 cut. It's a movie. But when this thing went up, all of a sudden it went kerplunk, like it went into a thicker medium. Maybe not water, but something thicker like plasma. And what was interesting, this was in Arizona, and all of a sudden we could see the moon. Well, when this was launched, the moon was over New Zealand, okay? That's impossible. That only works on a flat Earth because you could not see it from New Zealand.
Is this a picture behind you of
the
rocket
of the ball.
Going
yeah,
up, straight up?
What's that?
Did you have the picture of the rocket going straight up and just stopping?
Going straight up, unlike all of NASA's, which just curve out, go out of sight, and disappear. And they go into the Bermuda Triangle.
So one of the major premises of a non-movable Earth, non-spinning Earth folk like you, David Weiss, is that there is a firmament, which is kind of like a globe, over the Earth, and you can only go so far. Let's talk about that. Do you have a picture of that, what we believe it is?
So do I have a picture of that? Yes and no. Do I believe that there's a firmament? Yes. Is it look like this? No. I think the firmament... And this is my opinion. Again, anything above where we can reach or beyond the shoreline of Antarctica is speculation. But there's lots of experiments that we can do to test these things. I think the firmament, whether it is a physical or an energetic barrier, isn't like this. It's more like a dinner upside down dinner plate, not a salad bowl, a dinner plate. Right. So it's kind of almost flat across the Earth's surface. And we live on this dielectric plane within this torus field with this top, you know, protecting us. We are here. We're not floating through space. The Earth system is where we live. We don't live in the Sol Lunar system because we live here in this created space. And here's the other thing, Patrick. When I discovered this, I was a full-on atheist. I didn't believe in anything. I believed in evolution. You know, we evolved from pond scum, turned into monkeys, and then turned into humans. And I believe that there's billions of other planets out there and alien life. I believed all of that. And then when I discovered, by looking at the science, because we actually, flat earthers actually use science, right? We don't just say, oh, science, physics. Those are just words. We actually use science and physics. And we look at things that are impossible and things that are not impossible. And I said, okay, the earth is flat, which doesn't mean it's not the shape. It's intelligently designed. And therefore, there is a creator. And I draw the line there as far as that's it. You have to figure out the creator is and what your relationship is.
Okay, let's get back to my question, though, after not sleeping for a few nights thinking about this, is where, you didn't answer, where is Earth? I mean, the only time you can really say where something is, if it's in relation to something else, right? You know, theory of relativity, whatever Einstein came up with. But if there is no outer space and it's just a contained kind of place, similar to what you just showed, back up that a little bit. Let's just say if it's similar to this or something like that, where is it? I mean, where is it?
That's a great question.
We don't know.
What's underneath the earth? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's below 7 miles or 8 miles, whether it's flat or round. That's the deepest hole that's ever dug. But somehow, you know, they make up stuff about a magnetic core, you know, a molten metal core, and they trained us, you know, to believe a bunch of nonsense, you know, like this. This is all pseudoscience, right? But
does it have to sit on something? Does it have to be sitting on something? Otherwise, it would be in space, and there would be space, right? No.
Well, that's an interesting concept, ancient religions, everyone talked about a flat, immovable earth. You know, I wasn't a Bible guy. I don't want to say I'm not a Bible guy, but I'm not the guy to talk about the Bible.
Right.
But the Bible has over 200 verses that talk about a flat, immovable earth on pillars. So what does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what it means because it's beyond
anything
I can prove factually. Right. I don't like talking about... I love speculating on what could be above us and what could be beyond Antarctica, but I don't use that as my proof of flat Earth. There's plenty right here underneath.
You got a lot of stuff that we can talk about. David Wise is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We are live here this morning, September 13, 2021. We're going to dispense with our commercials because I don't want to use up any of his time. He only has so much, so who cares? We got stuff, buy it. And that's how you support us, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're not going to do any commercial time. Okay, so do you know for sure if the stars and the planets, it has to be under this firmament, right, David Wise?
So first you have to unwind your understanding of what planets are. Planets are, what your idea of what planets are, were given to you by NASA and Walt Disney.
Right.
NASA shows us these beautiful planets, but when you look at them through any super zoom lenses, you see something completely different. So planets, we don't live on a planet. We live on an extended Earth plane. How much does it extend? I don't know. Maybe it goes on for infinity. I don't know what that means. Okay. So what are planets? And the thing is, we can scientifically prove that they're not what they say they are, because Mars is, 25 million miles away or whatever it is. And it's a dusty, dirty ball, they tell us, and it's reflecting light. Next time Mars is in the sky, or right now, at the time of this recording, Jupiter is up in the sky, and it is super bright, okay? Well, you have to believe that sunlight is reflecting off of this gassy, dirty ball and shining back to Earth brighter than any star. That doesn't make any sense. When you look at how light works, how reflections work, it does not make any sense.
So stars and planets do their own light. They're making their own.
Planets used to be called wandering stars,
uh-huh.
And they were changed to planets, okay, plane with a T, which is more confusion. This is Mars zoomed in, and it's an energetic ball of energy.
Something,
right? And the same thing happens when you look at stars. You zoom in on them, and they're pretty amazing, if I could pull one up. Here's the star, I believe this is Sirius.
Sirius.
It's got like geometric shapes in it. Here's the star Arcturus. It's one of my favorites. Anyone can see this. You can almost see this with your naked eye.
Wow.
But then you zoom in, this is what you see. This is not a burning ball at a ridiculous distance away. If we get into the distances of the stars, you'll understand okay.
Let me show you this. Nonsense. Somebody sent me this. They took with a Nikon camera from Venus, very short, sent it to me yesterday. This is a listener. Check this out. You can talk. Yeah.
Here we go.
Wow. Look at that.
A whole bunch of stars.
This is their. This is from
now,
a listener.
Now there are issues. There are issues with focus sometimes. But yeah, this is amazing. This is an amazing one. Okay.
Let me do it again.
That looked like a Venus wave. Amazing.
He said there's waves.
A lunar wave.
Yeah. Like this is Venus. This fellow took. Out in California.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we don't even know if it's a ball or if it's just a disc or if it's just an energetic light beam or
it's an energetic light source with close by within our system. Patrick, if Venus and Mercury actually prove that the Earth is not a spinning ball, because Venus and Mercury are between the Earth and the Sun, but there's many times where we can see Venus and Mercury in the night sky, which is impossible.
Okay, now
geometrically,
let's go slow with that one so we really understand what you're saying. So you're saying this alone is kind of the exculpatory evidence that we're not a spinning ball going around the sun, and go again and start slowly and explain why?
So again, when you zoom into planets,
right,
when we see them, their light, you cannot shine a light on a rock and then have that rock's light project through millions of miles of space and then cast, you know, be bright enough to be brighter than any star in the sky. When you look at the moon, they tell us the moon is a dusty, dirty ball reflecting sunlight. But if we're in the middle of nowhere on a full moon night, the moon is so bright we can read by it. We can drive our cars without the lights on, right? You can't get a dusty, dirty rock to do that. Right, the moon is its own light. And then there's a thing called, I don't want to get too confusing, but it's called the inverse square law of light. When you go half the distance to a light, it gets four times brighter.
Okay.
This is just the law of light. So you cut that in half, 16 times brighter. So we're supposed to believe that this dusty, dirty ball that this actornaut is standing on is bright enough to cast shadows on the Earth and read by and cast moonbeams down and light up these clouds.
Yeah, where's the light?
Where's the light
on the right? I mean, where was...
Yeah.
Where was the light?
So, but let's talk about the inverse square law of light. It's not that confusing.
Okay.
If the moon was just one lumen,
right,
you know, on a full moon night, I went halfway to the moon, it's four. Halfway again, 16. Halfway again, 64. I keep doing that until I'm about 100 miles from the moon, and it's like tens of millions of lumens, which would melt your face, okay? So you have to believe that this, from this close, would be brighter than we see the sun from Earth, for us to be able to see it at this brightness. These are things that most people can't process because we weren't taught how to think like this in school. We were taught to memorize and regurgitate.
I understand. David Weiss is with us. I've also heard or seen that moonlight actually has a temperature to it, and you can measure moonlight at just regular, and if you measure moonlight in a shade, it's actually warmer. That's a trick.
So there is the moon is a cold light. The sun is a hot light. People have a hard time dealing with that. The problem with that is absolutely true.
Is it?
But there are people that are doing this test and they're doing it incorrectly. Okay. Like they'll put a piece of cardboard over the ground to block the moonlight. Well, that cardboard's now insulating the heat that's coming out of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a false positive. But if you do it right, you will see a significant difference of moonlight and moonshade coming from the moon.
Okay.
So.
A little bit different.
That has to do with, go ahead.
Now, David, I want to do a little technical thing. Can I get you to move to your right a bit? Okay, and then you can move your mic up so you can talk in the center of it, if you will.
Is that better like
well,
that?
No, you can just turn it, like twist it, so you're going more in the center so you can stay to the left.
I can move it a little bit because
attaboy, there you go. Okay, now you got it.
All
right. That's perfect.
That's better.
I'd like you to stay more to the left so we can see your graphics. Because you're covering
no problem.
Attaboy, now we got it. We're talking with David Weiss, and you can actually use the telephone line. Dare we? Well, we will. We don't have a screener, but
we do.
888-663-6386. I've got lots of emails. So, what has been the best question someone has ever asked you that you really had to scratch your head to answer it over all these years? And how many years you've been at this?
I'd say since 2015.
What's been like the one that you really had to almost say, okay, I got to think about this and come back to you? Can you recall anything off the top of your head?
I might be able to come up with a couple things, okay. But here's one thing that flat earthers know. We know that we don't know a lot of things.
Yes.
Right? Globers have a ton of beliefs that they have no proof of. They were taught, you were taught that the earth was a globe and that we're traveling in space before you could speak, maybe, you know, and then they never showed you anything other than cartoons. So once you start looking and actually looking at the evidence, you know, they show us cartoons like this of flat earth. That's nonsense. They show us cartoons of this ball in space. Not real. And I'm not the one saying it. NASA admits it's not a real photo. So, you know, people say, what is the hardest thing they say? You know, tell me what an eclipse is. Well, I can't. I could show you some things that it could be, and I can show you what definitely it is not. Like, there's no way a lunar or solar eclipse could happen the way they say. So that kind of proves that the Earth is not a spinning ball floating in space.
Uh-huh. I have to tell you that I've never really, in the last 10 years, really believed in the concept of time. And once I got through watching these videos and stuff, that we're not really spinning around the sun, I have to tell you, it was an amazing experience. I even sunk deeper into the idea that there is no time. That the only time, the only thing that's moving is the sun and the moon. So how could there be time for you and I, spiritual beings, in a body, unless we believe there is?
Right. Huh? So people say, well, how does the sun, the sky is a perfect clock. And I want to show you my app at one point. To show you how the sky is the perfect clock and how it proves that we're not hurling through space, spinning in four different directions at once.
Okay.
Once you understand that and how the sky is the clock of I don't want to use the word time, but it has these cycles that we go through, and the sky tells us where we are in those cycles.
Say that again.
The sky is a clock, and there's listen to my words. There, we go through different cycles of time, and the stars and the wandering stars tell us where we are in that cycle. We go through different ages: the Iron Age, the Golden Age.
Sure, right.
And so the sky is the perfect clock. Think about this. They tell us that we're hurling and whirling and swirling in four different directions at once. You know, we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, or orbiting at 66,000 miles an hour.
Right.
We're chasing the sun at 500,000 miles an hour. And we're moving sideways at over 1,000,000 miles an hour. But if you go out tonight, look at the stars, and then in a year from now, same night, same time, go look at the stars, they will all be in the exact same position, even though we've traveled billions of miles.
How is that possible?
And none of them change.
How is that possible?
That's impossible.
So you're saying that the stars move around us and they come back in 1 year right to the same spot, right?
Yes, let me, can I share my screen here?
Whatever you want to do,
Yeah. So, can you see my screen?
Yeah.
You can see the whole thing. All right, so this is my app. It's called the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app.
Okay.
And let me just put it into motion, and you'll see that the sun and the moon circle around the flat earth. The middle line where the sun is almost directly over it is the equator. The inner yellow line is the Tropic of Cancer. The outer yellow line is the Tropic of Capricorn. So we've all heard those. We know that they're constellations, but we don't really know what they mean, what they represent. The inner yellow line is the Tropic of Cancer, and that's when people in the inner north, in the Arctic north, you know, the inner, which we call the Arctic area, have our summer. So let me just jump the sun forward. If I move the sun to March, April, May, June. Did I go too far? August, I went too far. So in February, March, April, May, June. So in June, the sun is over the Tropic of Cancer. That's when we have our summer. Hmm. If you look right now, the sun is about to go over Miami and Southern California and Mexico. Well, it's really hot there. Okay, you're in Texas. That's when you're having the heat of your summer,
mm-hmm.
right? But the people in Australia, they're having their winter because the sun is farther away from them. If I jump it forward 6 months, the sun moves out to the Tropic of Capricorn, and Australia has their summer because the sun is over their head. We look at the sun, it's farther south. It's lower in the sky. We have shorter days. It's farther. We don't.
So
feel
the
it
sun, the sun is further away during the winter because what's causing it to do what it's doing? What's moving that? Is that a God thing?
Great question. And the sun is not a physical object.
It's not.
It is more of a reflection. So we can get into that in a minute. You know, okay. When I get out of the app, I can demonstrate that a little better. But the sun migrates in and out 6 months in, 6 months out, and that's when we have our seasons. Patrick, if you and I were sitting outside in the freezing cold and we're 20 feet apart and someone's holding a big giant heat lamp directly over your head, 10 feet in the air, mm-hmm. You look up, that's high in the sky for you, that's warm, and it's your summer. I look at that light, it's lower in the sky, it's farther away, I can barely feel the heat, that's my winter. They walk over to me, keeping it at the same height, you watch it get lower and lower in your view, I watch it get higher and higher in my view, even though it's staying at the same height. And that's how seasons happen. Because did you know that in our north, during our winter, the sun is 3.5 million miles closer in the heliocentric model, which is crazy.
So in the heliocentric model, the round earth globalist model, it's
3.5 million miles closer during our northern winter.
That doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And so check this out. In the northern winter, in December 21st, if I go out and wait until the sun at solar noon, where it's the highest it is for the day, I could look at the sun here in Connecticut and I could barely feel the heat on my face. It's freezing and I could barely feel the sun on my face. But in June, when the sun is supposedly 3.5 million miles farther away, when it just shows up on the horizon at sunrise, that's the most severe angle we could be tilted away on the ball, and I could feel the heat blasting on my face in June. When it's a much more severe angle, and it's 3.5 million miles farther away, that there, right there, proves that the spinning ball is nonsense. Hmm. So,
there's so
you were asking
many,
about the stars.
Yeah, the star. Yeah, we never did. Are the stars, are they Venus and Mars and all these guys and planets, are they inside the firmament thing or outside of it? Do we know?
Everything that we see is within the firmament. Whether we see them below the firmament or locked in it is a great question, and I could show you some things about that. But the stars, the fixed stars, are fixed within the sky. They do not change. They turn around and they spin slightly faster than the sun. So slightly that it takes them 365 days to lap the sun once. So right now, you know, whatever the constellation, the next constellation will catch up. It'll stay in there for a month. And then the next one will catch up. They'll stay there. And then we're in Pisces. It'll stay there. Hmm. And that's how the constellations change. And then after a year, they reset back to the beginning.
I was also thinking it's very interesting, people that have studied astrology for a long time and really believe in our connection with these things, whatever they are, these beings. I would suspect they're souls just like we are, with energetic.
Yes.
It would actually give them more juice, if you would,
totally,
for the astrological ideas, because it's not like they're just some dumb rock hurtling through space, you know. They're alive and they're emanating light and sound and energy, and it gives more strength through astrology.
I used to laugh at astrology, thinking it was the dumbest thing ever. How could a rock 25 million miles away that can't even affect the tides, because I believed in that, affect my life? You know, Mars is in retrograde, big deal. But when you understand that these are all energetic things here, they're all named after gods that are right here within the Earth system, part of us.
Yeah.
We are part of the Earth system.
Yes,
the whole Earth supports our life. And it's an electrical magnetic system that we live in.
Yes.
So, yeah. And here's the thing. Astrologers, they talk about the movements of all the planets. One planet they don't talk about the movement of is Earth. I work corkscrewing through space in four different directions at once, but they never mention the movement of Earth.
Isn't that interesting?
Stationary.
And astrology goes back, thousands of years, right? People have studied this.
Yeah,
you would think that, they would calculate the movement of Earth if it moved, right? They would calculate that in there.
It doesn't move. Let me just show you a real quick thing on the app,
sure,
which is some resources. People say, you know, there's all, if you hit the little button, I just jumped out of the app.
That's right. We're talking with David Weiss. If you'd like to join the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. You can also call 888-663-6386. Let me check my internet, my call, make sure that that's working, because sometimes it just, I'm out in the country.
Nope.
But go ahead, David.
No problem. In the app, a new feature that I just added is where are the other flat earthers? Well, all of these dots represent people that are using my app. And
wow.
So you can zoom in on your area and you could tap on a dot and send a message to that person. You can send a text message
wow.
to them by just tapping.
Great. Tell
yeah.
people how you
and
can
so that,
get your
this
app.
Is a way for
tell people
flat
how to get the
to
app.
Connect with each other.
Yeah, tell people how to get the app. Yeah, how do you get your app?
The app is called the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Google Play and Apple. Just make sure on Google Play you get the one by Blue Water Bay. The app is the highest rated app in the App Store. Everyone loves it. I tell people it's $3. Don't buy it. Just go read the reviews. That'll turn you into a flat earther. But just real quick, what the app does is, I talked about the Google censorship. If you Google Flat Earth, you end up at all of their hit pieces. You know, Professor Dave, who's not a professor, he's an actor. And PsyOp Man Dan, and he's just a another paid guy to put out incorrect gaslighting videos to capture weak minds.
Yes, sir.
And so you'll never find the good stuff. But in the app, if you hit the question mark, up come all of the questions that you'd ask. Like, hey, what about eclipses? And if you click the what about eclipses, up pops a playlist of videos that YouTube won't serve you, that will teach you
they won't
about
serve
eclipses.
You they've censored them, Dan.
They're called shadow ban.
Ah.
Like, you could search for these by name and channel name, and they won't show up most of the time.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay?
Of course, that's the big question, and we'll get to it later on in the show. Not right now. Why would YouTube, why would they care? Why would they, if the flat earthers are just a bunch of crazy lunatics that are making something up, why would they care if people believe differently? And we're going to ask David that before we leave, because I get that question a lot. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Right.
Yeah. Why would they care? Why would they care?
Real quick, then I'm going to jump out of the app.
Okay.
What I tell people is I'm offering 3 Bitcoins for 1 proof of the globe, but you have to take the challenge. Every day, there's a new featured video that shows up down here. Today is one that's actually about the new feature. But you click on this thumbnail, up comes the video. Watch that video every day for 2 weeks. And at the end of that 2 weeks, if you think you have 1 proof of the globe, you can send it to me and you win 3 Bitcoins if it proves the globe. But before you do, again, you have to hit that question mark. Up come all the questions that you're probably asking. Go check it out in there. See if you can find your answer. And then don't believe the video. Go test it yourself. I'm just going to show you the door and then you can figure it out yourself.
That's funny. 3 Bitcoins, that's like $150,000.
That is correct.
That's correctamundo. Let me ask this email, and then we'll get back to your stuff. From Alexandria, if the sun and moon are disks equal in size as suggested in a video, how does that affect the sun and moon signs in the science of astrology?
Do the sun and moon, the size matter? I mean, if you think about it, they tell us that the sun and moon, the sun is 400 times bigger and 400 times farther. And therefore, occasionally they line up. The odds of them lining up at those distances and sizes is so astronomical that you have a better chance of winning the Powerball like 10 days in a row. Okay. And that's just for it happening once.
Uh-huh.
But an eclipse happened, where it happened again, that it's so astronomical that you can basically say that it's zero. But the thing is, there's eclipses every single year. And check this out. They come in cycles. After 18 years, that entire pattern of eclipses happens again. Okay? So the eclipses repeat. That proves that we're not spinning crazily through space. There's you ever hear of the Antikythera mechanism? This was found off of Greece. Off the island of Antikythera, where they found this thing, super old, I forget, 1,000, 2,000 years old, and they x-rayed it and MRI'd it, and then they rebuilt it. And it totally predicts when the eclipses happen, where they happen, where the positions of most of the planets are. And this thing was made thousands of years ago.
Thousands of years ago. Wow. Hey, Dave, this is one of my faves.
Still accurate today.
This is one of my faves. Sally writes, so if I understand, she was responding to what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago. So Patrick, if I understand what you have said on your show, a plane flying from New York to Los Angeles, which is 2,500 miles, current flying time is about 5 hours, makes sense. Okay, average about 500 miles per hour. All right, you with me? But if the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour to the east, it would mean one would be in traversing 1,500 miles in 1 hour, which would allow you to get from New York to LA in about 1 hour and 42 minutes. What's up with that? And the flight from LA to New York, one would essentially be traveling in a negative 500 miles per hour. You would never get there. Now, that's what she's...
So I'll give you the Glober argument on that. I'll take the Glober side on that. The answer is because the atmosphere is Velcroed to the Earth and we're spinning with it. So it's all relative. And that's a ridiculous argument. But, you know, it's hard. You can't... You can't get a Glober to see. But worse than that is, if you're sitting on the equator...
Yeah.
You're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour because the Earth is 24,000 miles around, spins around once a day. You're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But if you are just 1 mile from the North Pole, you're making a circle around that North Pole that has a radius of 1 mile. So you're going around once in 24 hours because the Earth spins in one day, but you're only moving 3.14 miles during that 24 hours. So the plane sitting on the runway is barely moving. It's going way less than a mile per hour. The plane sitting on a runway in Ecuador, not moving, is moving 1,000 miles an hour. So now let's look at the plane near the North Pole, takes off, flies down to Ecuador, okay?
Right.
It flies down to Ecuador and it wants to land on a runway that's oriented north-south, okay? That runway is moving sideways at 1,000 miles an hour, okay? That's ridiculous. It's impossible to do it. And now, so better than that, if you want to use airplanes, you look at these flight routes, Taiwan to LA, Taiwan to LA.
Right.
There was an emergency that happened right about here.
Yeah.
Right? Someone had a heart attack or having a baby, something happened. Plane needed to land. You're the pilot. Where are you going to land? Well, Hawaii is a good option. You could continue on, right? But instead, they went all the way up to Alaska. Now, why did they go to Alaska? Because if you look at this on a flat Earth, Taiwan, emergency.
Oh, my God.
Alaska, Hawaii is all the way out here.
Wow.
Okay?
So right?
There's been
so
over
there is
16.
There. Let me see if I understand. So there's been, I think, 15 or 16 cases where somebody had to land in an emergency, and they end up landing on the flat Earth model and not on the round Earth model.
So this book here, 16 Emergency Landings, you can order it in the app. You can find it online for free, the PDF, but it's a great coffee table book. It shows documents, 16 emergency landings that happened, and on a globe, they landed in ridiculous places. Like, why did they go all the way over to Moscow? Why did they go all the way over here? And then you look at it on a flat Earth map, and you draw a line from the origin to the destination, and they always land right along that line.
Right along that
line.
Even
though the flight route said, oh, they're going up here on the great curve, you know, the great circle route, those are nonsense. They're lying to us, especially the southern flights, on where they're going. Flight routes in the north are closer on a ball versus a flat Earth, but flight routes in the south make no sense whatsoever. The easiest one is Santiago to Australia.
Right.
It goes all the way up to the north, across, and down. And if you want to go to Western Australia, check this out. Remember this route. Santiago, it goes all the way up, then it cuts all the way across, goes all the way over to the Far East, and down through Singapore, and it goes here. Why wouldn't it just cut across the bottom of the ball? Why wouldn't it just cut across here? And the answer is because the Earth is flat. That route to Western Australia goes all the way up, across the United States, Far East, Singapore, Western Australia. Airplanes fly straight and level over the Earth plane. No pilot noses the flight down, right? Noses down. Because after an hour of flying at 500 miles an hour, you'd be 30 miles higher in the sky if you didn't nose down on a ball.
And do these little gyroscope things tell the pilot if they're level with the surface?
So a pilot spins up his gyroscope on the runway. it holds rigidity in space on the three-axis gimbal. So it's holding rigidity, and if the plane turns, the gyroscope stays level. If the plane goes down, the gyroscope stays level, right? And so it always stays level, so they know when they're level. If they're turning, the gyroscope is twisted. It holds the horizon level. So if you're flying across the world, well, that gyroscope would have to kind of curve with the Earth. Right. That doesn't happen.
They don't do it? Pilots? You've talked to them?
Gyroscopes hold rigidity in space regardless of gravity.
Gyroscopes. So have you talked to pilots and asked them if they dip the nose down as they go?
In the app, yeah. If you go to What About Pilots and Scientists, Are They All Lying? There's many testimonies by many pilots that admit, the Earth is flat. The Qantas pilots out of Australia, they're the ones that, know for sure. They all talk about how they talk about it openly amongst themselves in the lounge, but they can't talk about it publicly because they'll be grounded. They're not allowed to talk about it.
Is that right?
We interviewed on Globebusters, a YouTube show that we have Wednesdays and Sundays, a KLM pilot, a woman and veteran pilot, and she came on, said, yeah, and she showed us images and talked about gyroscopes and how she could see the sun when flying from California to Germany or wherever, whatever the flight route was, and it never set, and all of the stuff. Next day, she was grounded, then she disappeared.
Is that right?
There's plenty of retired pilots talking about it.
Okay, here's a question for you. This is from a fellow. This is from a fellow who's a physicist, been to about 12 years of university, and he wants me to ask you this, so here you go. It's a little geeky, but see if you got this one. My question is, please explain known flight times, and paths from Santiago to Sydney using the flat Earth model. Did we cover that?
Yeah, well, no. That's a good one. Thanks for that question.
Okay.
And I will answer
These two cities are on opposite. Let me finish a bit. These two cities are on opposite sides of the flat Earth map, and planes would have to travel ultra supersonic speeds to achieve known times and paths, and we know planes cannot do this. And tell them to please answer the question directly. I don't want to hear about other flight paths in Antarctica. Okay.
Yeah. So it is the flight route he's talking is from Santiago across on a flat Earth map. It's really far, and a plane would have to go much faster. Guess what? Planes do go faster. He's saying we know that since the 1970s, planes haven't gotten any faster. Okay, that's ridiculous. The phrase the sound barrier is a psyop. There is no sound barrier. There's a thing called the sonic boom. When you travel exactly at the speed of sound, the sound that's heading forward can't get away. It piles up and creates a boom. But as soon as you pass that sonic, that speed of sound, you're leaving all the sound behind you, and there is not another boom. Planes go faster. Though there's only one air flight, only one plane, and a couple of military pilots that fly this plane. There's only a small handful of them. And the research that we found out on a plane is that it has 7 layers of heat-resistant paint. Why does it have 7 layers of heat-resistant paint? Could it be going faster? And if you remember when I had the app up, I was showing you those wind currents. There's counter-rotating winds that go in a smaller circle on the inside going one direction and a bigger circle on the outside. Those winds are 200 to 300 miles an hour most of the time, and they do take advantage of these. There are massive differences on the direct flights when they do have them. Sometimes there's a massive difference of 5 hours of arrival times. That has to do with their ability to catch these winds and how fast the plane could go. Now, with the winds, we've charted it that the plane doesn't even have to go that fast. Maybe 700 miles an hour with the winds would get them there on time. But I believe these planes can go a lot faster. And anyone that says that they know that planes don't go faster is just making things up. But here's the one we did. We actually did a live stream with Max Egan, who is a great researcher. He was not a flat earther, and he wanted to prove this flight. So his flight route should have showed him on his seat back, showed him dipping south and then coming around to southwest and going to Australia. But he took compass readings along the way. All of these green lines are north, northwest. Right here where the plane is right now, that one purple line right here, that's west. And then everything beyond that becomes southwest and then south. And those are the compass readings that he made. So we charted them out with the, and this is the route that it drew, kind of a straight line. What are the odds that the compass readings that he had lay out on a flat earth map as a straight line from the origin to the destination? What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Zero.
Wouldn't
the odds, you know, just like all of the emergency landings, they all happen, they all perfectly line up on a flat Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency landings, you know, and saying you know how fast planes go, please, a pilot doesn't even know how fast a plane goes. He knows what the GPS tells him, which is run by NASA. He knows what, you know, the radar is telling him. He knows what his controls are telling him. He does not know how fast he's going, unless, of course, you can see the ground, it's close. You might be able to go, oh, you know, I am going faster than a normal flight. But I don't think these guys know, or if they do know, they're military guys. Yeah. They're not allowed to talk about it.
Here's an email for you. All sunrise, sunsets, and moonrise, moonset times are actually calculated for any date and location on the planet. If this data is not derived from measurements based on the Earth being spherical.
Well, that's not true. All of the eclipses come from, you know, the Antikythera mechanism long before anyone thought that the Earth was a ball. Show that NASA uses this one guy to predict eclipses. They're taking the flat Earth data and wrapping it around a ball. Okay. The sunrise and sunsets. Yeah, you could have sunrise and sunsets on both. Right. And they work perfectly on a flat Earth. If you really want to get into it, go look at sunrise and sunset times around the solstice, the winter solstice for us, where, you know, if the Earth was tilted, moving around like they tell us, the days should be getting shorter on both ends. And then the days should start getting longer as soon as the sun starts coming, you know, around towards our summer. But that's not what happens. The once we pass the December 21st. There's a couple of weeks where the sunsets stay at the same time, and then the sunrise comes later and later. If we were on a spinning ball, they'd both move out and in perfectly, synergistically, but they don't. They change. And what that means is something is speeding up and something is slowing down. And it's either the sun is speeding up or the Earth is speeding up and slowing down. Either one of those don't work on a globe.
We're talking with David Weiss, theflatearthpodcast.com. You can go there and look at all David's stuff and then do his app thing. And if I knew how to do an app on my phone, I'd get it, but I'll figure it out because I'm I'm just a bit of a Luddite.
My YouTube channel, my videos will show you the... there's a link in the latest videos that about the app that has a web-based version where you can go and zoom in and see all the flat earthers all across the plane. Check that out. Just Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app by Blue Water Bay. Just go read the reviews. You don't even have to buy the app. Yeah. Just read the reviews.
And in the remaining time, I'd like to dig into some of the aspects that are kind of fun of the who, the why, the where, and us, and what we're doing here and this kind of stuff, because I bet you'll be fun to talk to about that. I've been really thinking about this idea of where are we? I mean, where is Earth, right? Where is it? David, what if it's just Earth is the only, let's see, and maybe this ties into why they would want us not to know this. Maybe Earth is physical reality. That is physical reality. So we have, in a sense, we've created it with what our image has been of it for thousands and thousands of years. Just like we create a Christian heaven somewhere. I know it exists, probably. You could probably go there. I know you can go there and visit
probably
it.
Probably close.
Yeah, you know, probably close by. And you could experience whatever you experience there, and then, you know, good luck. So maybe Earth is just physical reality and the only physical reality there is, all that encompasses Earth, right? Maybe this is it, and we are the center of the universe. We are spiritual beings. We can create everything. We do create everything. We are not insignificant specks of dust in an unlimited space thing. And this is why the people have been trying to tell us this round Earth thing for the last 400 years, 500 years. Possible?
They don't want us to know that we are significant. They don't want us to know that we are the center of creation. They don't want us to know that this place is, for lack of a better word, magical. They don't want us to know that our thoughts create our reality.
Yes.
Everyone listening right now, everything you have in your life is the way that you think. You have brought the misery and the happiness into your life by the way that you think.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You have attracted these things. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that the farther you expand your thoughts, the more that you can bring in to your life, the more that you can share with others. They've put us in a prison, and that prison is the globe, okay? So they've limited our thinking. Then they have us watching the news. Don't watch the news because it'll make you sick and kill you. They have us believing that we're running out of water. That's impossible. There's infinite water. They have us running out of food. That's impossible. You can take a 50-year-old seed, stick it in the dirt, water will fall from the sky, and food will grow out of the ground. They have us believing that we're overpopulated. The entire population of the earth can live in Texas comfortably. Okay? They have us believing that nuclear bombs are going to take us out by Kim Jong-un. That's all fake. Nuclear bombs don't exist. Wait a minute, Dave. Now you're going too far. People are addicted to misinformation. You know, what about Hiroshima, Nagasaki? You look into that, you'll see that the sandwich shops, the trains were running. 3 days after the trains were running, the sandwich shops were open. People were selling flowers on the street. Life was back to normal. There were some fires. Yes, there was an explosion, but it was not a nuclear explosion.
David, can I get you to move now to your, let me move you around a little bit. I'd like to do a split screen for a while we do this final portion, but I want to be able to see you. Okay. And it's also, don't you think it's interesting that they, whoever they are, you know, we call them Doug and Mel, the boys, you know, whoever, the globalists. Don't you, isn't it also interesting that the term now these days are the globalists? But we can get
into it. Always, everything is global, isn't global, that cool? Everything.
You know, everything.
Kids, but, you know, the astronauts on Sesame Street, you know, everything is about the globe because that's how they keep us in a prison. If you understood who you are, where you are, what you are, the power of your mind, you'd no longer listen. Tyranny can only happen when you believe that someone has power over you.
Yes, sir.
Everyone listen to this. Patrick, let's say your radio show goes wild and 10 billion people listen to it, which means some people listen twice. Everyone hears it. Tomorrow they go, you know, they made a lot of sense. Screw what's going on. I'm no longer going to pay attention. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to open my business. I'm going to do what I want. Boom, it's over. They're done. They disappear. There's two ways to control us. Controlling our minds by putting us in a prison. That's the ball.
Yes, sir.
And using their monopoly money. Go look at monopoly money. Lay out the 5, 10, 20,
15, 100. Oh, yeah, we've done a lot of shows on money. And yeah.
It's the same color, okay? and go look at the rules of monopoly. If the bank runs out of money, just get more paper and write money on that. Just write. That's what they think. We're playing on their monopoly board. People need to look into what real cryptocurrency is, not the government centralized cryptocurrency, decentralized cryptocurrency. If you don't know about it, you got to just learn about it because that's what we do. Get off of their monopoly board. They're finished as soon as that happens.
And don't you find it interesting that NASA and these people want to continually sell us on the idea of 5 million light years away, and we got to keep going deeper into space so we understand the truth? Right? When it's totally the opposite. To understand the truth, we go within and we know everything, right? So they're kind of selling this idea that we got to go out there, and all the movies have told us this is where the secrets are. This is where the truth is.
Think how silly it is to try to colonize Mars. You know, we have to spend trillions of dollars to get there. Then there's no atmosphere, so you can't breathe. You have to remain in a bubble. Somehow they're going to build bubbles and fill them with air. why don't we just build it in Ethiopia? Because we can run train tracks there to bring supplies. We already have the air. We already have the sun for solar energy. I mean, why don't we just build a biodome here on Earth? It would cost a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a penny, and it's actually something you could do. So the whole idea of going to space is to dilute the creation, is to
of our, you know, strength, right, and our power
system. They're literally trying to steal our souls.
And I would argue too, as spiritual beings, which we are, David Wise, we are omniscient, we're omnipotent, and we're we're everywhere. We know everything. We're everywhere. And deep down, I believe that we know that this round earth thing is a scam, and is one of the reasons why they've been able to pull off this whole COVID thing, because deep down people are afraid and they're scared and they don't believe their own, you know, their own knowingness.
They're lost in space, spinning out of control in fear. How you control somebody. Keep them in fear. Make life so horrible that they'll agree to
anything.
What they want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at right now. And why am I talking about flat earth? Why this entire CV scam is going on? And the answer is because this is how we got there in the first place. We're lost. We don't know who we are. We don't know that we are the center of creation. We don't know that we have the power. They do not have the power. They have to abide by laws, universal law, which is they can't break our free will. So they always tell us what they're doing. They always make it obvious, but people are too fluoridated and hypnotized by the TV to see. They've been taught, they haven't been taught how to think in school. They've been indoctrinated.
That's why some people have said to me, Patrick, with everything going on with forced vaccinations and I think in Australia, why would you want to do a show on flat earth? And I'm thinking to myself and said to them, this is the most important show that I could be doing today, September 13, 2021, because if we don't understand that we're spiritual beings creating our reality and these people are all lying about everything, then we're lost in space, David Weiss, right? We're
lost in space, spinning out of control. If you don't know, if we get our freedom back, let's say they give us our freedom back for a little bit, how long can we hold on to them, not knowing who we are, not knowing how this place works, not knowing the power of our minds?
Yes.
Okay? And they, you know the old saying, don't put the cart in front of the horse? My mom used to say that to me. Right. Well, you are. That is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put the thought in front of the manifestation, because the thought will create what you want. If you want it and there's a good reason for it and it's a good thing, put the thought out there. You already have it. It just has to manifest. They don't want us to know that the world works like that. I've manifested amazing things in my life just by believing and then allowing. Belief and allow. Don't worry about the why, just belief and allow, and then the world delivers. It's amazing.
Isn't it fascinating how people ask, well, I keep talking about spirit and divine spirit and the ethers and God, and they keep asking me, well, how do you connect? How do I connect with that? And what you just said, I think, is very relevant. The first thing to do is just believe that it exists. Even if you don't know, if you believe it exists and you fake it till you make it and you allow it in, You'll learn things like, you know, your head explode, right?
100%. And I used to laugh at that, like, oh, you know, that'd be nice, you know. And it's amazing how things come into your life.
Yes, sir.
I saw, I think it was the Thrive series, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah, about 10 years ago. And the guy was talking about a vision board. And I was like, okay, let me try this, right? And I kind of foo-fooed it. And I wrote down these things that I wanted. And I wanted to be the CEO of my own company. I worked in corporate America in a cubicle at that point. And I'm like, yeah, that's, I kind of just even wrote it off. But I put it down there and I put it in. I said, I'm going to allow it. And then 5 years later, I found myself in my office late night in my own company that I had started with a couple partners, balancing the books, you know, doing something. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the CEO of my own company, right? And so it happened. You know, these things happen. And, you know, I asked for more free time with my family, more time to enjoy life and the ability to spread this message. Well, here I am. Mm-hmm. I walked away from my own job. I'm here talking to people like you. I'm helping millions of people at this point. I've created this app, which everyone loves. It's now literally the friend finder on the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app is only a week old. There's already almost 15,000 users registered for that. And there's people meeting up. There's over this weekend, there was hundreds of people that got together. Like, you're just 10 miles from me, right? Because being a flat earther could be kind of lonely. It's kind of like, sure, you know, who are you going to talk to? Well, guess what? There's other flat earthers all around you. They're everywhere.
We found the same thing.
And now you can reach them.
We found the same thing with this germ theory. And I think the germ theory is a scam. I think it's been a scam since Pasteur. Totally. And they've built this entire COVID thing on the idea that there's some spooky little particle that's running around and you can breathe it in and kill you and spread it. And it's just a lie. It's just
a
lie.
Is all our opinions, YouTube. Okay. If this goes on YouTube. We're just wondering what it is. God bless Dr. Fauci.
God bless. Because, you know, David, if you believe In a variant, right? I mean, if you believe in if you believe in the original lie that there's a COVID thing from a bat, or even now they're spinning the idea that it comes from some lab, you know, I think that's all a false flag. Yeah. The only place this virus is, in my opinion, is in the mind. And believe me, when you believe there's a virus in your mind, it's in your body at that moment, and you can get sick. And you will get
many people that are diagnosed with cancer that don't have cancer end up dying.
Yes, sir. Let's take this phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Taylor from Austin. How are you, Pat?
Hi, Taylor. Go ahead. You're on the air with David Weiss.
Hey, David. How are you?
Doing great. What's going on, Taylor?
I just want to say thank you for everything both of you are doing. I'm going to be real quick. Dave, one of the most compelling things that I've seen from you is the local sun that you shot from the beach. And I think if you put that video up behind you, that will say more than anything about how can a sun be 93 million miles away when it's within the clouds.
Okay.
Oh, the beach one, right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, Taylor.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do that for you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Okay. So what's he talking about?
Actually, a friend of mine shot this in Florida, and it's here we go. There you go. I'll step to the side.
Okay.
It's showing the sun
right
within the clouds. This is impossible in the heliocentric ball. There's clouds above it, below it, behind it, in front of it, right? So this is the sun that we see.
Whoa.
Now, the real sun is, I believe, within or beyond the firmament.
Is it possible it's actually above the firmament, David?
So I look at the firmament as, excuse me.
That's all right. Take some water. Give him some water. Give the guy a water.
I look at the firmament like a lens, like a magnifying glass.
Huh.
And just as you can take the sun and magnify it to a point that's super hot and looks like a little sun, get a magnifying glass and try it. But don't burn any ants like you used to. And if you got that focus point, then lift it up 6 inches and that focus point's gone, but it's not. It's right. It's in the air. You just don't see it. Like if you put your hand there,
nice.
It's, you know, medium there, you would see it. Like blow some smoke in there and you'll see it. I believe that the sun that we see is being projected into our earth sky. And we all see it in a position relative to our own.
What does all of the ancient texts and religions, what do they believe the firmament is in general? I know it's been almost every religion since the beginning of time talked about a stationary, non-movable earth, right, with a firmament.
Yeah, you know, some talk about it, you know, the Bible talks about it being like molten glass.
Hmm.
That's interesting. And if you look at the stories of Libyan desert glass,
mm-hmm.
which they believe is parts of the firmament. I don't know. You know, there's stories from Antarctica that it's frozen oxygen, which is a thing called sky ice. If you look in the Antarctica section of the app, there's some videos on that, which is fascinating, fascinating stuff. And sky ice is sky blue. It literally is the color of the sky, and it doesn't melt. It shrinks and disappears. So what is the firmament? Not sure. You know, it could be energetic. Is there I don't know. Again, if I can't touch it, I don't know.
You don't
I
know.
Speculate.
Yeah, So we got a lot of questions about the moon. And I mean, you could spend all day on the moon landing.
So
thing.
Do I.
Yeah. Matt, what's the... And there's actually videos of this great scientist. He seemed great. The interviewing, and this is 1950. You've probably seen it. And he's talking, and this guy is talking about the moon as being this, you know,
plasma
and waves and just this energetic thing. And the guy said, well, you know, the United States is going to be going to the moon in a few years. The guy says,
like, nope.
The guy said, that's not going to happen. So
we
know that the moon landing was a total, absolute lie. I remember, David, I just had been discharged from the Navy in 1969. And, it was June, and seven brothers and sisters, we all watched the moon thing on TV, right, with Walter Cronkite, and I just knew at that moment, and I actually looked at my dad, too, and I knew that he knew, but we didn't say anything because the family was all excited, but you could look at those spacesuits, and you knew that it was just a joke, and, you know, being a radio guy, how is it possible, how far does NASA say the moon is from Earth?
238,000 miles away.
238,000 miles. This was during a time where we just got TV through an antenna on my roof and 10 miles away. Sometimes you had to move it because the weather changed it. How could they talk and get video 238,000 miles away in 1969? Never happened.
Nixon talked to him on a landline phone without a delay.
Yeah, it could.
Okay?
Yeah. Come on.
So, again, once you understand, you know, we can prove today, you know, that was a while ago, you know, we can prove that NASA is lying about everything on the space station. Unwind that to we never went to the moon.
Right.
I mean, the moon footage doesn't hold up. NASA lost all of the telemetry data.
I saw that. Yeah.
They lost the technology to go back. We haven't been back since the 70s. Okay. They the images that they show us are ridiculous. If you look at the moon lander, it is the dumbest. It looks more like a homeless tweaker shelter. Okay.
Have you also thought about how they even got the moon lander outside of this little hole that they climbed out of? I mean, how did they even do that? They didn't.
Right, and they had a car in there, golf clubs. You know, it's insane. None of it makes any sense. This is what they showed us for the orbiter relinking with the lander.
Right.
This is the dumbest thing ever. I could film this in a closet, okay? And NASA has these big models of the Earth, okay?
Right.
Not of the Earth, of the Earth and the Moon, and they have a camera track that goes around it. I mean, there's photos of the stage setup that they use this stuff for. It's incredible how people don't see it. NASA does all of their training in an undersea, a big pool facility. They have a replica of the space station down there, so they do all their spacewalks in there. But up on the wall, they have a Vitruvian man with a rocket trying to break through the firmament with a scuba diver handing him a power tool.
Okay. Why is NASA
on their wall?
Yeah. Why is NASA the biggest purchaser of helium on the planet?
Correct. Because they're all rockets. Not they show us all different types of fakery, but the big rockets that you actually see launch from a great distance are balloons. I have a series of videos called Rockets Are Balloons. It will completely destroy the idea of launching large rockets into space. Nobody's ever gone into space. Nobody, because space doesn't exist.
But what about these big, all the fire from Cape Canaveral? Isn't that real?
Yeah, that is it's a light show. So there was one rocket where there's different things that they do. Sometimes you see the smoke trail. That's when they're really launching something. It's usually a helium balloon.
Like this?
Right? But there's other times where there is no trail, where you have this like clean flame. I call this the Tupac rocket. Okay? It's a hologram. Right? And so look, where is it? Oh, there it is. And so watch what happens. This is the projection. On NASA's lawn, we were zooming around at some images. And we zoomed in on this. What is this big spotlight? And we saw like the company name. And we zoomed it up. And we looked it up. And it was a holographic projection company. Why does NASA have holographic projectors? And so look what happens here. Bam. Something went wrong.
So what about the people hanging around Cape Canaveral like they do and looking at? What do they see? They have to see.
There's nobody hanging around Cape Canaveral. They show you edited videos. Nobody is within 10 miles.
No kidding.
Okay. And then you're like, well, what about this amateur video? All of the stuff is nonsense. It all has the same thing. You always see a couple birds fly by. You always hear kids in the background. You always, they don't show you what's going on. It's all put together nonsense. I'm trying to pull up another video while I'm talking, and I forgot which video I was going to pull up.
Man, we've really been had, brother. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
What about Elon Musk and Bezos and flying these little rockets, and who's the guy, the airline pilot guy or whatever he is? Did he do anything?
Yeah, Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, were these things real?
So all they did was go up in what's called a zero-G plane. So they always show this is, they always have the girl with the blonde hair, flipping around. This is a zero-G flight. And a zero-G flight, anybody can take one. It's like $5,000. And it goes up on a parabolic turn, and you get a few moments of weightlessness, right? They said Richard Branson had 4.5 minutes of weightlessness, but they never show the unedited footage. They only show 5 seconds at a time because he did a whole bunch of flights like this where it was outfitted to look like his silly plane. He floated around a few times. He almost threw up. And then they edited it together. And then he landed in his plane and made his speech. It's all a farce. These people are on a zero-G plane. And they have weightlessness for up to 40 seconds. So this is all they did. That's all it is.
The idea of gravity, before we go, let's deal with that. the gravity thing kind of came out with, what was it, David Copernicus in around 1600, his theory of gravity and why we can be spinning around and the oceans don't fall out. Let's talk about that before we go.
Yeah, so the whole idea of gravity is nonsense because they have to make up 96% as dark matter and dark energy that's never been seen, never been measured, never been observed, other than it has to exist or gravity doesn't work. Well, guess what? Gravity doesn't work. It doesn't exist. So what is gravity? What makes things go down? Well, the number one thing is buoyancy and density. If I had a handful of ping pong balls, marbles, and a helium balloon, and I held it over a pool and I let go, the balloon's going to go up because it's lighter than the air. The marbles and the ping pong balls are going to go down because they're heavier than the air. The ping pong balls will sit on top of the water and the marbles will sink to the bottom simply because buoyancy and density. So what makes them go down? Well, two arguments can be made. One is down is down. The earth is down. Everything goes down. But I say, my opinion is that the earth has a negative charge to it, not a testable, measurable negative charge. It attracts things to it. It's an incoherent magnet where it says, hey, down is this way. I'm a weak force. Just this way is down. And then buoyancy and density sort everything else out. Our world is a huge battery. The sun and the moon are the anode and cathode of the battery system. The salt water carries the current. The land is the salt bridge. It's a giant energy, free energy system.
Yes, sir.
Tesla proved that.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a fellow that we had on a week ago. I'll send you the video if you like. And he's got a patent on something he's been working on for 10 years. And he's created a thing for the car. And it just works on electromagnetic energy. You don't have to plug in. It just works. It just forever.
That goes against national security. Anything that represents free energy is a threat to our nation, and he should be stopped at all costs.
He should be stopped. If the earth is truly fat, writes Roger, what is the explanation for how and why it came into existence?
Well, it was created, and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, talk to God about that one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to believe the other one. You have to believe once upon a time there was nothing. It exploded and became everything, right? Okay, that's interesting. Not really. And then all of the rocky bits started sticking together and getting more and more gravity, pulling more things in. But then for some reason, all of the gases decided they were going to start forming a mass, and they turned into giant, bigger masses that burst into flames, you know, nuclear fusion, and they left a vacuum in between. So now we have rocky balls and gas balls floating in a vacuum. That's a problem, okay? Huge problem. And you can have gas without a container. Gas pressure without a container. Well, gravity is the pressure. That's nonsense. It's all heliocentric nonsense.
So again, on the pilot thing, I want to understand. So whenever you talk about the pilot and the times from New York and LA and all that, their argument is that the atmosphere that the plane is in is kind of moving with the spinning of the earth. Is that right? Is I understand what their argument is when you say that?
So that is their argument. Let me share my screen real
quick.
How
is that possible?
I'll show you the actual wind charts of the earth. So here's the wind. And if you look at these white and pink circle, that is going to the east. Well, they tell us that the earth is spinning to the east. These white and pink areas are going 200 to 300 miles an hour. They're outrunning the spin of the earth. Okay? So now we have all of this atmosphere supposedly spinning with the earth, but the higher atmosphere that would have to spin even faster just to keep up with the land because it's making a bigger circle decides to outrun the spin of the earth. If anything, it would lag behind, right? Hmm. But it's, for some reason, outrunning the spin of the earth. This is pseudoscience nonsense.
Is there any outer space? I mean, space, I mean, is it, do we even know? I mean,
we don't know what's beyond. I believe that space as we know it is liquid, okay? But what is in the outer space? I think there's more land in the outer space across the earth plane. Let me just show you something. This is something I'd like to show.
Sure.
Is the actual speed. They say we're orbiting at 66,000 miles an hour, okay? This is the hypersonic sled. It's going to go by at Mach 8.6. Ready?
All right.
You didn't even see it. Watch it again. Mach 8.6. Well, We are orbiting the sun 10 times faster than that. And we are chasing the sun at 90 times faster than that in elliptical circles, right? And we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, right? 10 times faster in one direction, 90 times faster in another direction, this big water ball, and we have lakes that look like this.
How is that possible?
This is evidence of a stationary, non-moving basin.
Basin. Don't you think it's interesting that they say that the Earth is moving around the sun at 666,666 miles an hour, and that the angle
66,600.
Yeah, and the angle is 66662. So it's almost like it's a cabal, Freemason, Jesuit, crazy thing. Stick this in your face, 666. I mean,
100%. There's so many things that all add up to sixes that it's mind blowing.
Have you ever lost any friends over this over the years? Kind of like the germ theory people, we've lost a few of those. You know, they just don't think. Come on, Patrick. Whatever. Have you? People have set you aside.
Patrick, I've lost a lot of friends, really? But they're now coming around.
Are they?
They're all like, hey, you know, hey, I looked into this thing. You're not so crazy. All of the stuff, you know, I've been screaming for years, what's happening now is coming. And now they're like, huh, I should have listened to you 10 years ago when you said all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're coming back. But I've made thousands of other new friends, right? Like-minded friends. And you know what? The friends that I lost, that's their journey. I'll let them have their journey. And then when they're ready, they'll come back. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's their choice. It's fine. You know, my brother and sister, I haven't spoken with them in over a year because we really have nothing to talk about because they believe everything that's happening in the news. Mm-hmm. And I've never even discussed Flat Earth with them. So that's their journey. They're not ready. They're living their life. That's their deal. It's unfortunate, but I look forward to the day when they open their eyes.
Don't you find it interesting? I do spiritually. It began with Trump Biden thing, you know, we began to kind of split into different realities. Then it moved into COVID, and now we're in different realities of vax and no vax, max and no, and then germ theory, no their germ theory. And now I think that this idea that I came across is significant because this is kind of the big one. If we don't know where we are and all the things that we believe that are untrue for the last 100 years, I don't think we have an opportunity to grow spiritually, do we? Because we're living a lie.
So now there are a lot of people that are doing just fine. You know, they're connected enough, right? But that's like limiting yourself. Like, hey, the United States is all that there is. There's nothing else. And you believe that. And I'm like, hey, Patrick, there's other countries out there. You can go there. And you're like, no, I'm good, right? You're limiting yourself. You're denying God's creation. So, yeah, I don't think that we can take back our freedom if we're lost in space spinning out of control. And that's why I'm talking about flat earth.
That's why you do it. And this idea of separation, it's big, isn't it? Us and them, you know, mask and no mask, vax and no mask. When at the end of the day, we're not separate from the stars. We're not separate from the moon. We're not separate from the sun. I'm not separate from you. I mean, we know it's true, right? We're all one big whatever. And boy, they just do everything they can to separate us so we don't see what's going on.
100%. Patrick, we gotta wrap it up. You can find me, easiest to remember, flatearthdave.com. That'll take you to my website. That'll bring you to the link to the app.
Flatearthdave.com. Well, we're going to continue
that'll bring you to the flatearthpodcast.com.
We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow. We have scheduled Santos Bonacci tomorrow. He's interesting.
Yeah, talk to him about the astrology. He's the man.
He's really into it in the spiritual aspects. Well, you're welcome to come back anytime. I know you're a busy guy, and we could probably do this once a month forever and not touch on everything that you do. But congratulations on your work. I know you're onto something. I know. I just know it. I don't want to know it. I don't know it. Flat Earth Dave, right?
For those of you that are flat earthers already, update your app. Make sure you get the friend finder and find people near you. Connect with them physically. They don't want us connected. They want us 6 feet apart. They want us separated. They want us hiding in our homes. You got to go out and meet these people. And because two people together are 1,000 times more powerful than one alone.
Yes, sir. All right, sir. My blessing. Blessings. I love you. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. See you.
Bye-bye. See you. Dave Wise, Patrick Timpone, on David Wise. OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, that was a trip. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. We didn't do any commercials because it was just too much fun to do. And I had so many emails I couldn't get to, but you know, it's a big, wide and winding subject. And I think it's just great fun. And I really do. This idea is incredibly important. I mean, you know, we received a few emails that folks are not, I don't know, not too many, but they want us to talk more about what's going on in the world and COVID and vaccines. And you know what? I mean, we're going to continue. We'll keep on top of it. But ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we have talked about it ad nauseum for 2 years, almost 2 years. I mean, we know that these things are dangerous. We know that the whole thing is made up. I don't know what else we can do. I don't know. So I don't know where we're going from here on One Radio Network, but we're not going to keep digging back into stuff that we all know about. And I continue to get emails every day. God love you. Patrick, check out this guy. Talk to this guy. He's got a cure for COVID. So I email him back. I love to, but you know, there is no COVID. So, you know, but it's challenging. So we do what we can. I have compassion for those of you that believe in the germs, or believe, you know, whatever. Let me know what I can do to help you to not believe in the germs, and I'm here for you. I love you all very much. We will see you tomorrow with Santos Bonacci, 2 hours, and he's into all kinds of things, non-spherical, lyrical, biodiabolical, densities of the deep, and lost in space. He's not. We'll be here at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Let me know if I can help. OneRadioNetwork.com. Love you all. Take care of yourself, and may the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.